Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, welcome into the Nick Baugh Podcast, coming to you live from the AOI Studios, a.k.a. my basement office. I love it in this office. When I was making my office into a podcast room, I had a vision of what I wanted, and AOI made it come true. Desk, the design of it, the chairs, it all just looks great. It's comfortable. I love it. And I've told you about the desk and the Aeron chair, but AOI does it all. Whether it's construction or furniture, AOI will help make your ideas a reality, just like they did for me. You got to check out AOI on the web, AOIcorp.com, AOIcorp.com, or give them a call, 402-896-5520. That's 896-5520. All right, on deck today for this podcast, we got a really good one. We got a great one. We got Bill Raftery, former Seton Hall coach, and obviously now he's a household name in the broadcasting world. He's pretty much the analyst voice of college basketball. He works for Fox and CBS. He calls the Final Four, and he's one of a kind with his personality, his humor, his insight. You know, and sayings like, onions, a little lingerie on the deck, and get the puppies organized, all that on and on. I mean, he is truly one of a kind. He's one of a kind. And, you know, I got to tell you, as a younger guy in this profession, and a guy that is, you know, just trying to, you know, scratch, claw his way and make it, the guy who has been unbelievably supportive and nice to me from day one is Bill Raftery. There are some guys you see on TV and you think, man, I'd love to hang out with that guy. I'd love to have a drink with that guy. And maybe at the same time, you kind of wonder if he'd be a good dude. I'm telling you guys, he's the absolute best. He's the best, man. He's sincere. He's caring. He's genuine. He's got a great heart. He's just as hilarious off the camera as he is on camera. And the guy knows his hoops, man. I mean, the way he studies, the way he prepares, the way he can break down things during a game. I mean, he's just a joy to listen, call a game. And, I figured I'm taping this on a Sunday. I shot him a text. And, you know, I said, hey, Raf, man, I got this silly little podcast. You got any time to come on the pod? Called me back immediately. And he said, let's do it. I said, okay. I mean, it's just amazing. This guy is beyond busy. And he can still find 15 minutes for someone like me to chat, right? I mean, it's just, if that isn't a window into how good of a guy he is, I don't know what is, man. This is a fun conversation. We hit on a bunch of stuff. You know, I ask him who's the best team in college basketball, his thoughts on the Big East, on Fred Hoiberg, on Creighton, how the game has evolved. I also got his thoughts on Bob Knight returning to Indiana and being honored. That was obviously a big story over the weekend, and so much more. So I didn't want to eat up too much of his time since the guy is beyond slammed and busy all the time. But this was great. Bill Raftery, I'm proud to call this guy a friend. And I think you guys are going to enjoy this. I really, really do. So here we go. Let's get to it, man. Here is my podcast chat with Fox and CBS's number one college basketball analyst, Mr. Onions himself, Bill Raftery. Well, I could just have him talk and he would need no introduction. He's Bill Raftery. He's pretty much the analyst voice of college basketball. Works for Fox, works for CBS, calls the Final Four. Kind enough to join us. I mean, how busy are you? Are you three games a week, two games a week? What's the load like now for you?
Nothing like yours, Nick. I mean, you're laying the wood on me. Meantime, you haven't been home much at all. But it's sometimes it's three,
right?
But mostly two, and as you found out, the most difficult part is getting there.
Yes.
The rest of it is cake. You know, it's enjoyable, and, you know, nice surroundings, kids playing their backsides off.
Right.
But just once in a while you get a snafu here or there, or delay or cancellation and weather and all that kind of stuff. But the rest of it is, you know, you're really done before you get there. You might as well go home. You know, it's like just tying the pieces together when you see your coach and gives you a little of his insight. And then you go. You're ready to rock and roll. You know, it's a quick 2 hours and, you know, just under the most pleasant circumstances.
Right. How much has your process of how you prepare for a game changed? Because you talk to anybody, as I've been trying to kind of break down the door of getting into this industry, everybody's got the, yo, you got to do this, you got to do that, you can't say this, you can't say that. What's it been like for you in figuring out how you prepare for a game?
I think the best advice, which you have followed, it looks like, is just, it's your deal, you know, you right. just get after it the same style. You might tweak it as the years go on, but I basically, you know, some guys like numbers, you know, some guys like trends, some guys like stories, and it depends on you and what you're bringing to the table, and hopefully you have a good teammate. I mean, that's the key that I found. You know, if you're a play-by-play guy, which is, you know, so prominent now, is a willing, you know, teammate. I mean, it's almost like the game itself. It's right. like you're in it together. You're not going to let him down. You know, you're going to be prepared and just sort of be able to respond to anything he might throw your way. And hopefully you develop a dialogue and a little, not necessarily emotion or magic, but just a, you know, a feeling that transcends to a home or a listener. But in terms of what you do, is it's just a little, pretty much the way you've been raised, who you've palled around, your kind of delivery, your tone, all of those things sort of tie into being you. And I'm sure when you started, a lot of people say, just be you.
Yeah.
And people would, you would say, well, I don't know who I am, you know, or what am I on the air, kind of, you know?
So yes.
I just think the more you do, it's almost like the reps of a quarterback or, you know, a team or a point guard that, you know, you get a little flow going, and the game takes you for a great ride, hopefully.
Yeah, isn't it fun? What beyond just the games, and I mean, you had a great moment this past week with Kamar Baldwin's game winner, but beyond all that, I just love the getting to see the behind the scenes stuff of all the different ways each coach goes about preparing their team to play. You know, it's like there's no right way. Everyone's got their own little thing. What's it been like to watch that evolve over the years? Because there's been a lot of different things infiltrating the game, whether it is numbers and trends and analytics or the explosion of film. Would you say things, the way most of the coaches prepare, is it similar to what it was, you know, 15, 20, 25 years ago, or has it changed quite a bit?
Oh, I think it's changed totally. I mean, I can't imagine what the effort these guys put into breaking tape down. And, you know, their skull sessions, their meetings. It's really just an unbelievable proportion of time that these kids are involved. I mean, with us, it was, you know, we showed up. The kids showed up at 3:30, and they were done, like, preseason, maybe 6:30. We had no study hall. We all had kids that wanted to go to Harvard, of course, you know. But, you know, we didn't have any of those type of things. Plus, the film, when I was doing it, didn't come for a day or two.
Right.
Or with the budget we had, you had X amount of films you could use or pay for. So the whole thing now is, whether you want to say scientific or more hands-on or whatever, but I do think what you initially said is true. Anybody, particularly in a production end of things, there's a lot of rash judging that goes on the way a guy runs a shoot around, even much less a practice. And you know, I caution them if it need be, obviously, but that, you know, Boeheim doesn't even have a shoot around.
Okay.
Or, you know, this guy just walks around during the 2 hour practice and lets his assistants do a lot of the work, or steps in. And I'm talking about the bigs and the image of the country in terms of basketball. Everybody's got their own way of doing things.
Right.
And I think it's an adjustment. Mike Krzyzewski is probably the best example. when he started, he did so many things differently before he became the Olympic coach that he has changed totally the way he runs practices, maybe even the tweaking of offense and the simplifying of things simply because of being around the pros and, you know, gleaning things from them and the assistants he had. Many were NBA guys. So I just think that the process of coaching is always evolving.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the early days when I played even, you know, Red McManus was the Creighton coach.
Yep.
You know, we're going Paul, and you've heard me talk with Paul Silas story about, you know, our coaches in their days, they worked hard, but it was a different type of hard. It wasn't as time consuming. It wasn't as hands-on. And October 15th was when you started spending time. Now it's all summer long. And I'm not so sure it's right either. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see kids play more three-on-three and mix it up and be on their own and let coaches have a life as well. And I think some of the kids would love that. Now, if some people say, well, that stops the progress of a player, well, a player is always going to be a player, and if you really love it, you're going to work at
totally.
It. So, but I just think that it's really the kids have a lot of time occupied for them. I and then the other part is off the floor. I don't envy these kids. They can't be college students anymore. They can't do anything that we did. You know, now to be headlines.
Oh boy,
yeah. We'd be suspended from college probably. But so I think it's everything changes as the years go on.
No doubt. I mean, I think about my senior year, Coach Altman would have me, I would take the guys through film. Like, he would hand me the DVD and say, he'd go, "Bah, they're sick of my voice. You make sure they understand this, this, and this." And he would have me do it. And then
right.
even with how much the game itself has changed, so after my freshman year at Kansas, that spring, all we did, Raph, that whole spring was we did 3-on-3, no dribble. Danny Manning was the all-time passer. So, like, you throw it to Danny. We played 3-on-3. You couldn't dribble. And it was great. But I think about that now. That wouldn't even apply. You know, no one, basically nobody play. Everybody has to have the ball in their hands, and it's a bunch of ball screens. I'm not one of those guys that thinks, you know, I think the game's in a great place. But it's just, it's whether it's the style or the coaching, the way things have evolved is pretty dramatic in a short period of time, relatively speaking.
Right. And then the other thing is some guys into the analytics now where threes are it, and yep. You don't want to lay up, and there's no middle game. And I, you know, I'm like old school. I think you always look for the best shots you can get. And for Creighton, it happens to be threes frequently, but mm-hmm. You know, those guys, and I heard you pointed out, Balak's really become a good driver. Zagorowski's incredible. You know, he's like the Marcus Howard, put you on a string kind of move. And, you know, but I think it's just a constant adjustment of a coach to the kind of player he has as well. And to the style of a league too.
Yes.
You know, the strengths of some leagues are different. You know, it might be more bully ball in one league and pressing or a number of pressing teams. But I think that's what makes this Big East a great preparation for the NCAA tournament. There's so many different styles of play by each team that you know sort of prepares you for the hard knocks of March.
So let's stick with the Big East. We're a little bit past the halfway point, and Seton Hall is kind of, with the win over Nova yesterday, really has taken a commanding lead. Do you feel like that's how I kind of see it? I think there's Seton Hall, there's a gap, and then there's kind of that Villanova, Creighton, Butler, Marquette kind of group, and Providence I'd throw in there too. Is that how you kind of see it? Like, how good do you think Seton Hall is, Raph?
Well, yeah, Cooley lost to them a couple of weeks ago in a pretty good game, and he thought they could be in the Final Four. So, you know, I would bow to him because they prepare, you know, see them in a detailed fashion. But that's not to be said that they can't be beaten, obviously. I think that's sort of the country, by and large, where no matter who, and you mentioned Kansas before, different periods of the time this year, I think I've said there's 7 or 8 teams when I had them that could win it all. Ohio State was hot early, was a perfect example. So, you know, the league itself is strong. It's going to be a nightmare come Big East tournament time because there's not a big spread between teams. But the middle layer is tough and can handle, you know, the Seton Halls of the world. Seton Hall could have lost to DePaul a couple of weeks
ago. Right.
You know, I don't know if you had that game. I think it was either Linnaeum or Jimmy. You know, you get punchy watching these different games. But, you know, I do think, you know, as you mentioned, Xavier's starting to feel pretty good about themselves. Marquette's always a threat. You know, guys have gotten better there besides Howard, who can, you know, just put you in pain and shock if you have to guard them, obviously. But so I just think it's strong and it's deep. And Seton Hall right now is able to win games at the end. And they overcame two major injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, just incredible that both Powell and you can bail me out with Mamadou Bashabeli. I'm not working, so I don't have to say it right.
But, just call, you know, him Mamu. We'll just
call
him Mamu.
Nobody mentioned him being out at all.
Right.
Like it was Powell with the concussion, and he's back, and he finally, I think he played better yesterday than I've seen him play since he's back. So, you know, they're good, they're talented, they're pain in the neck defensively, and they've got a big time guy who can drill you. And I think that's, you know, making shots the last 2 minutes and making free throws. I mean, they should have lost the DePaul game because they shot free throws terribly, and yet they're a pretty good free throw shooting team. So, no, I think it behooves you to be ready. You know, your local team there is, you know, obviously fun to watch, but they are tough kids. I mean, undersized, you know, it's painful defensively because, A, you got to get back, and then they stretch you out, and then they got the ball screen dive, and, you know, they're good off the bounce. So they're always stepping into shots. So it's like, I love be there on the catch. Well, you know, it's, you go from help side to catch side, and now they own you with the pump fake. So, there's a lot of good teams and a lot of good players.
Overall, I and it kind of changes a little bit week to week to a certain extent. What's the best team you've seen? Is it, I think I talked to you after you had the Oklahoma, you said it was probably Kansas. Has that changed? Like where are you at with
Well, you know, I had Baylor, and you know, it's like almost back when you're in high school, you fall in and out of love every day, I guess, you know,
right.
They fall in and out of love with you. We're more like that in my social life. But, you know, I love Gonzaga, and I still do, and I think they're getting punished for playing in their conference. You know, they've had injuries and they've had close games, you know, some surprising scores like Pepperdine at San Francisco. You know, could have had them late, but you know, it's not taking away how good they are. You know, I've had Louisville, and Louisville's real good. So, I mean, and then I watched LSU getting ready for my Kentucky, you know, just to get to know the league a little bit. And they're very good. So, I mean, it's just a matter of who starts rounding into form. And I honestly think it's more important how the sixth and seventh and the seventh and a half guy perform.
Right.
Are they getting better? And I think that transforms you from, you know, getting better as a team to having guys who can really come in and overcome fouls or nicks or injuries.
Two more things I'll let you run, Raf. Thanks for your time. I want to ask you about Bob Knight here in a second, but I got to ask you about Fred Hoiberg. You know, he's back at Nebraska. I know they're having a tough year this year, but I mean, he brought in basically a brand new team, and you know, that can be challenging and that can be kind of boom or bust, but he's got a bunch of good kids sitting out that are going to be pretty talented. I guess you remember Hoiberg, I'm sure, as a player, and then obviously he's been in the NBA, and then he was at Iowa State and had a role in there. I know people around Nebraska basketball are elated that Hoiberg is in Lincoln. What do you think of Hoiberg back with Nebraska?
Well, I love the guy. I mean, I had him when he was at Iowa State, and he was a burgeoning mayor. He wasn't an official mayor then. And then, of course, during the NBA games, ran into him quite a bit. He's one of those few guys that can take five new guys and put them on the floor and be representative. So, you know, this, you know, he'll nick people as this year has gone on, and I'm going to have him a little later. But, you know, the guy's a keeper. You know, give him some good players, and you saw what he did at Iowa State. So, I mean, it's a great addition to the facilities and the philosophy now. You know, back when I was young, you know, Nebraska, although decent, you know, everybody felt they weren't really into basketball, kind of. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't want to go play there against a good team. And, you know, Freddie's going to get guys who play confidently, you know, that kind of Jay Wright kind of, you know, if you're open, you shoot the ball kind of a look. So I think, you know, him getting good players and the Big Ten being what it is, they will not be the easy out that, you know, people might expect. So, in fact, I got Michigan State there, and that'll be a rocking and rolling night, you know, for that. But, no, I just like what he does. I like him as a guy. It'll be interesting with son Jack on the up. I'm going to have to see who Jack's rooting for that particular night, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Get you out of here on this, Raft. I'm not sure if you saw the video of Bob Knight yesterday. We're taping this on a Sunday. Finally coming back to Indiana. Obviously, there's been a lot of drama and different things that have happened. And I'm sure he's a colleague and a friend. I guess, what were your emotions as you kind of heard about Bob Knight finally coming back to Indiana, being honored, and maybe seeing the video of it?
Yeah, I've talked to him, I would say, two or three times in the last year. And, you know, it's just been tough, you know, on him and his wife. It's just been a struggle. And I'm glad, you know, to get rid of any animosity or bad feelings and that he and his wife may have had towards the university. And of course, all those people are gone. And I think it's fitting because he's been back to the state frequently at different functions. He and Katie did a couple of get-togethers with audience. And, you know, it was heartbreaking in a lot of ways not to see him as robust and, you know, as engaging as he can be. But I think for the people of Indiana, you know, it sort of ties things up in a nice package for them. You know, the greatness of, you know, obviously one of the finest coaches that I've either seen or, you know, coached against. And, you know, we go back to the Army days. So I know all the good things he's done. And I know people like to bring up some of the things that he may have done that they didn't like or we didn't like. But in terms of basketball and his contributions and his, you know, the love that he has had for Indiana and of course, the compassion they've had for him. So it was very heartwarming and, you know, just makes you stop and think how precious life is.
100%. Well, Raf, you are, you're the best, man. As a young guy in this industry trying to make it, to have someone like you be supportive of me, you know, give me a call, talk to me, all that stuff, it means a ton. So I appreciate you.
Oh, that's very nice, Nick. I'm glad you're doing so well. Great to listen to you. I learn a lot from me, kids, so keep it up.
I appreciate it. Raft, I will for sure see you in New York at the very least, okay?
You got it, Nick. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, okay. Raft.
A Parkville Media Production.